Motivation. That's the title today, to be motivated. You know, the word used in the Greek, as well as in the Septuagint of the Old Testament, parakaleo, parakaleo. And I want to go to the etymology of the word, though, if I may, because it means so much more. It means to walk close to someone and talk friendly to them with encouragement, to lift them up, to hold them up, advice, or whatever is good for them that motivates them into one thing, and that's into the very mystery of the Word of God. To look into it, to study it, because why? Because from that motivation brings you blessings from on high, because you're pleasing our Heavenly Father. So let's start in the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. If ever a people needed motivation, it's our people today with those conditions in the world. But then they're exactly as our Father told us they would be. So let there be no surprises. Okay, chapter 52, the book of Isaiah, verse 5. And verse 5 reads, "Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed." They try to remove God's name from our vocabulary. They try to remove it from children. They try to remove it especially from colleges. And certainly, the point is coming to pass that many people go so far in debt to send their children to a liberal institution that's going to ruin them. Absolutely ruin them. And it's time that you want to think this over on how you pick a college for your children. It doesn't hurt to investigate, because there are some really bad ones out there. Verse 6, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am," and there's the sacred name, "I am that I am, he that doth speak, and behold, it is I." He's on the throne, beloved. Don't ever doubt, and don't ever worry. If you love him, he's there for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So even in troubled times, be strong. For when you are at your weakest, God strengthens you. Verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." And of course, that looks forward to the Savior. And it's always good to have him in your presence via the Holy Spirit, or however, through his word, and his word lives. Verse 8, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." There's not going to be any disagreements to those that understand the mystery of God, his consummation of the end of this age, and how it comes to pass. Verse 9, here we came here for this reason. "Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem." This word "comforted" in the Septuagint is parakaleo, which is to say, walk close. He walks close to you, and he will give you encouragement. That's what this word comfort means. A lot more than just to send the comforter, which is abundant. But you personally, to come close to you and advise you through the Spirit of what should lead and what should guide and what should direct. You know, what more can you ask for? Then Father reaches down and touches you when you adhere, and when you desire to be motivated in His Word. And I would hope that's where your motivation would be, in serving Him, in pleasing Him, especially in this time. Verse 10, the Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. They're not going to miss it. Why? Because there's no other. We have one judge, and that's our Father, the Father of our beliefs, the Father of our motivation, the Comforter that leads you, that guides you into the very mystery of His consummation of the end of this age. How precious that is. Now, let's turn ahead to chapter 66. And 66 would be the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. And let's pick it up with verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dangled upon her knees. This has to do with God comforting you as a you've all seen a little old girl with a baby on her hip, on her side, loving that child and caring for that child. God said, I care for you the same way. Why? I love you. That's what He's saying. That I'm going to take care of you. I will nurse you with truth, with understanding, and with knowledge, if you'll seek it, if you will motivate yourself into looking, searching, you're going to find. I'll say that again. If you look and if you search, you will find. Why? He will see to it. That's His promise. When He motivates you into the deeper understanding that some might say, and yet it is only the simplicity in which Christ teaches. Verse 13. And one whom his mother comforteth. Underline that word. That means exactly what you think it does. To motivate. So will I comfort, or I will motivate you. And you shall be motivated in Jerusalem. It's going to happen. Father's not going to leave you hanging out. And, you know, when you know, what does man fear? You know, been there, done that. Been in places where you had a lot to be afraid of. But man is only afraid of fear itself, the unknown. As long as you're wise enough to know what's going on around you, and you have the ability to foresee into what even the enemy is doing, you've got nothing to fear. Why? Because you're in charge. You're in control. You have the hammer. And why? Because God instructs you. He leads you, even in everyday life. If He has His hand upon you, and if you have asked for that motivation, if you have asked for His love, for His caring, He will care to you like a mother does a little child that she wags on her hip and cares for it, holds it, embraces it. He said, I'm going to do that for you. You can count on it. And then people would wonder and fear, when we have a father like that, why would you fear? I mean, sure, it's a bad world out there, but our Father's not going to let it go on much longer. And you're on the winning team. So therefore, stand strong and be motivated through the word, every word of God's word, that is to say, the Holy Word. Verse 14, and when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. In other words, his love is going to show to the servants, but his anger shall be to the enemy. Verse 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. He's coming back. He's not a happy camper. You might say, well, why does he let this stuff go on? He's not going to. He's going to put an abrupt stop to it. And it's not that far down the road. That's why you want to be motivated to be touched by him and led by him, whereby you have that hand upon you, where he's got you on his hip and he's next to you. He's whispering good things to you, knowledge, when you seek it, when you wish to be motivated. Verse 16, for by fire and by his sword, what is his sword? It's his tongue, which is to say the word of God. Will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slaying of the Lord shall be many. There's a lot not going to make it. And when you look around, you can understand why. Many of them, much less to know salvation or the mystery of God's plan, they don't even believe in God. So naturally, there's going to be a separating. But thank God that's why we have the millennium. Verse 17, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, not in God's house, not in God's presence, but in the gardens, behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination, and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. It's important that you follow his instructions. Very important. Verse 18, for I know by their works that and their thoughts it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Even in the correction you see his glory. Now a lot of people say, well, you mean he's going to destroy those people? He's going to change them all to spiritual bodies. Sinners, saints, in other words, you can only come into the presence of God if you're in the same dimension he is. And that's spirit, your spiritual body. And therefore, they will have an opportunity. That's why it's written on the first day of the millennium, every knee bows to him. They got no choice because he is it. He's the judge. And they had that millennium for those that really didn't have a chance, not a second chance, but didn't have a chance coming out the gate because what was being taught them, then they will be have an opportunity to hear the real word of God through that period. So, yeah, there'll be a straightening out. But there will also be a time of teaching. 19, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them into under the nations to Tarshish, to Pul, to Lud. That's Africa, and that's Asia Minor. And draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the sides afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. It's going to happen. God will give everyone that opportunity in the millennium. Again, don't ever nail that as a second chance. It isn't. You know what's being taught today. And you know that there are so many people, even in the universities I mentioned earlier, they haven't got a clue of what's right from wrong as far as our Father is concerned. If you do not know what is right from wrong as far as our Father is concerned, you're never going to have His blessings. You're never going to have His motivation. You're going deeper and deeper until something jars you into the reality that there's one judge, and He is our Father. Okay, in conclusion, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. That's only the conclusion of Isaiah, okay? I'm not going to let you off that easy. Jeremiah 31, excuse me, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather her and keep him, will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. In other words, God hasn't lost anyone. It is only many of the tribes in their migrations that they've lost their way. They don't know who they are. And they plug on along, but they never really get into the mystery of God's plan. But He promises, I will gather them back, and that He shall. And God's elect will have a part in that. Verse 11, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. That means all 12 tribes. And ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. It may seem that our enemy is stronger, but our Father is stronger yet. Never fear and never worry about that. He will overcome them. And you've got nothing to worry about. Verse 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine, for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Well, that's quite a promise. And naturally, if you have been gifted with eternal life, you don't have any more pain in a flesh body. You don't even have wrinkles, because age means nothing to a spiritual body. And talk about that eternal life with Him, then certainly everything and all that is evil is done away with. What a different world this is going to be. You can look forward to it. It's coming. I'm glad that we don't have to judge it. It's a sin for you to judge. God will do the judging. Verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them. That means motivate them. Motivation and comfort really don't catch the whole picture there. I'm going to give them the drive. I'm going to give them the desire to know the truth. And that truth will set you free. That motivating them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Might have been some hard times, but there's good times coming when you love Him. Verse 14, and I will saturate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. The priests of that time are going to teach the pure truth. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rahel, that's Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted, motivated for her children because they were not. Do you know why in the end times her children were not? They don't know who they are. Absolutely ignorant of the 12 tribes and who they are. If you mention that the house of Judah and the house of Israel are two separate houses, they have nothing to do with each other at this time. Ultimately, they will be joined back in one stick. But if you don't understand that separation, you're in a heap of hurt. But they will come back to her. Rachel's children will know her. And her children will come back into the family of God. God's election, as He can use them. And that weeping shall stop. For she has nothing to weep about. God's on the throne. He's going to gather them back. And so it is. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. And so it is, and so they shall. Father will gather His own. It's His promise. There will be a culling, yes, but all transferred, transformed into spiritual bodies, at least in a position that He can work with them. And what a time that's going to be. It's called the millennium. And better yet, to a scholar of God's Word, it's called the Lord's Day. For one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years with us. And that 1,000 years is His day. He's going to get it put together, and He's going to pull the hammer on those at the end that do not take part in the second resurrection. I'm quoting Revelation chapter 20. Then they go into the second death, which is death of the soul, spiritual body. They won't exist any longer. And so it is. Now, to complete the New Testament, let's go with Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, have been taught firsthand. 2, that their hearts might be comforted, that's motivated, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You know, when you are aware of that mystery, of what He intends to do, even the election being delivered up, whereby the Holy Spirit speaks through them, what a time for champions to live. champions because they have the power of God within them to lead them, guide them, and direct them, to make a difference. So all the times that you've been knocked about, or maybe not listened to, they will listen this time when you are delivered. And that being, that mystery with that knowledge, you will be so knowledgeable. Why? Because when you're delivered, the Holy Spirit speaks through you, not yourself doing the talking. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where it comes from. That's why in studying His Word and being motivated to do the same, brings you that knowledge and that wisdom. That, you see, wisdom of the world, that's street smart. It goes when the streets pass. But wisdom from God is eternal. It gives ever-ending life. And that's what makes a big difference. With all the beautiful things that come with it, a spiritual body that never ages and so forth. Verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, and they will try. Verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That's how you tell a true Christian whether they're steadfast. Not like a reed shaken in the wind. They hear this message 30 minutes here and 30 there, and they switch just like that. Always hang to this word, not man's word. That's to say God's word. Be steadfast. Like a rock on the rock. And don't be blown around by men's traditions, or they'll lead you down Primrose Lane. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You've received Him, follow Him. You can't go wrong doing that. 7. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What does it mean to be rooted in? That's where your taproot goes. Your taproot of your very being, grounded in the Word of God, Christ Jesus. So whereby that Word, anytime something comes along foreign, the tree, your body, will shed it. You'll know it's wrong. You will have the unction to know that's not right, because my taproot is in the Word of God, and God reigns supreme. He motivates me into hearing that truth and following it. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Never follow the evil street sins of this world, colloquially speaking. I mean, traditions of men will make void the Word of God. They'll find a way around everything. Would you believe that they will even have the audacity to tell you in churches in this nation, you don't have to understand the book of Revelation because you're going to be gone? Now, see, that's a lie. And that's men's philosophy, because it's sure not God's word. God says He depends on you in Mark 13 and in Matthew 24 to stand and to be used, even while the Spirit's Messiah is here, false Christ. And you will do that. But you see, I mean, it is not only in the street that you're misled. There are many houses that call themselves by God's name that will still mislead you if you're not careful. Do you know, when you attend a lot of seminaries, do you know what you're taught? Never teach over a fourth grade education. And never, ever bring up something controversial. Well, now hold on a minute. The controversy is between Satan and God. How are you going to teach God's word and leave controversy out of it? You can't. Because the controversy is between Satan and Almighty God. So you have to be very careful. I'm not judging anyone. But you're one of God's elect. You judge as far as spiritual discernment is concerned, which is not a sin. It's a gift from God to be able to recognize truth when you hear it and separate it from falsehood. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's the way it is. God placed all power and authority into him, Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11, to complete. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, not with hands, without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That circumcision, of course, is done by Christ, and it's of the heart. It applies to both men and women. And there you have it. Motivation. God says, I will come close to you. I will counsel you through the Word and through the Spirit with friendly things that will protect you, that will motivate you to change your life, to make a difference to others, because you know the truth and you do plant that seed. Oh, it's true that sometimes when you plant a seed, they're going to tromp on you a little bit. Who cares? They will ultimately see the witness and know and understand. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Scripture. Thank you, Father, for motivation. Thank you for being that one that does motivate through your word, Father. Be with this congregation. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The mark of the beast on